Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 9. Let me read for you. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Amen.
Today, I'm going to deliver a message under the title of Different Hearts in One Situation. After people are born, depending on what kind of things they learn and hear and see, their life are affected. And there may be some difference in way of walking toward the truth, depending on whether they have a great deal of evil or not in their hearts. However, those elements of the, environmental elements or in the characteristics do not affect the outcome of your faith. So many people ask me a question. Well, raise your hand if you are very active. And nobody raised their hand. So many people gave, testimony after they came into spirit. And I haven't seen anyone except Mrs. Bongnim Lee, a prayer center, that they all said that they were shy. Many people make an excuse when they don't come into a spirit. Some people put blame on their environment. Some people put blame on their characteristics. Some people say that they have so much evil in their hearts. So they make an excuse. Well, if you listen to the confession of those who entered the spirit, it's difficult to find those who confess that it was easy to come into spirit because I was so active and I had less evil. Everybody receives their own refinement in their field. So depending on how well you get rid of yourself, there is a difference. Well, the important thing is how much you trust and love the shepherd. That brings great difference in the speed of coming into spirit. The fact is that you cannot make an excuse saying that, because I had so much evil in my heart, I'm slow to come into spirit. Why? Because we have heard the word of truth. We have prayed. Moreover, we have received the same amount of love from the shepherd and experienced his power. So, the flesh and those evil is far less than the word of truth and the power of the shepherd and the original voice that we experienced. Those who have been a Christian for a long time or those novice believers, depending on what kind of heart they have in their hearts, there is a great difference. So I'm going to tell you what you have to find in your heart to figure out why you're slow to stand on the rock of faith or come into spirit. Even though two people are in the same situation, they don't bring about the same result. Even though two people are in the same situation, depending on what they do and what procedures, their outcome can be different. Well, you may have heard in Mrs. Bongnim Lee during a Daniel prayer meeting, she testifies to her refinement. While she was under refinement, she said to get rid of hatred and jealousy from her heart, what kind of effort she made. She testified, right? And you heard. She gave things what she treasured to those she used to hate. Most of people try to avoid those people, you know, they hate, right? But Mrs. Bonglin-Lee tried to give more and tried to give love to such people that she hate. And she was under that kind of refinement. And it was quite a long time. While I was growing up, I think I was in middle school, I once thought like this. I cannot live my life like Mrs. Bonglin-Lee. I would rather stay single. She met senior pastor. But instead of enjoying being a wife to a husband, I mean, being a wife to a husband, she, you know, was under very serious refinement. She had a hard time. So I watched her. So when I was a student, I thought, you know, she was so great, but I would not live my life like she did. But, you know, she said that, you know, I remember what she did while she was under that kind of refinement. As I listened to her testimony, I thought to myself like this. If she had not gotten rid of hatred and jealousy, what would have happened to her now? I mean, think of her situation. In the past, she used to live with senior pastor. She had a time to have conversation with senior pastor. But now, she doesn't have time. She does not live with senior pastor in the same place. So, she has less time with senior pastor. She cannot even find time to say, I love you, senior pastor. So, she had more chance of being jealousy and envious nowadays. And you can, as you can see, there are so many people around senior pastor who, you know, love him and follow him all the time. However, I mean, what I'm saying is she has more chance to become envious and jealousy compared to what she's been through in the past. But in her heart, she got rid of that hatred and jealousy. She turned her fleshly love into spiritual love. Now, she tries to give more chance to our congregation to meet senior pastor and follow him. Even though she doesn't find time to be with, you know, senior pastor, she tries to lead, you know, Daniel Prayer Meeting to give energy and strength to the congregation. And she tries to pray just one more soul for those, you know, who pray during the Daniel Prayer Meeting. So I believe, you know, many of you received her prayer, right? And thanks to her prayer, we have changed a lot. Well, what I'm saying is, in a spiritual, a fleshly perspective, she has more chance to become envious and jealousy, but since she has the heart of spirit, she has more chance to give in spiritual love. So I'm so thankful for that. As I said, the environment or situation you are in doesn't matter. What matters is what kind of heart you have. In a given situation, in a given time, what is it to make you come into spirit faster? That's what I'm going to say. In the same situation, even though you listen to the same message of truth, but why you are slow while others are quick to come to stand on the rock of faith or come into spirit. In the same situation, people have different hearts. Why? Because they love Father God in different amount. Well, lovers can find whether their love is true or not when they face hardships. Even in a situation when they cannot but misunderstand each other, If they can comfort others' heart, then we can see it is true love. But it's difficult to find such love. People of the world easily misunderstand each other. They listen to others instead of listening to, you know, those who they love. That's fleshly love. So, how can you figure out how much you love Father God? You can see that when you're under the test of faith. When you're under the test or under refinement, you can see whether you give spiritual love or fleshly love to Father God. Pastor Susan Lee talked about the fleshly love in the last Wednesday service, reading faces, feeling uncomfortable, losing the fullness. You have to check yourself whether you have that kind of stuff to see whether you have, you know, spiritual love or fleshly love. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, when everything goes well, I mean, when you accept the Lord for the first time, you are at the first level of faith, right? Sometimes you feel like you are at the fifth level of faith, no, because you are so full of Holy Spirit. You think you are full of love for Father God. That's how you are full of the Holy Spirit. However, once that period passes by, you naturally undergo refinement. Then when you are under refinement, you can see whether you truly love Father God or not. I'm going to talk about two people who underwent serious refinement, Job and King David. So I hope that you can see your heart, compare your heart with those hearts, okay? Let me talk about the refinement of Job. Job chapter 1 verse 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil.
Well,
being blameless is defined spiritually as being gentle in deeds. When you are gentle, it means you have soft and gentle characteristics with virtue. What about uprightness? The uprightness that Father God acknowledges is not only deceiving others, but you should not deceive yourself either. Job feared God, and he was away from evil. But he feared God. He was afraid of God. Since he was afraid of God, he couldn't commit sin. That's how he feared God. Instead of, you know, loving Father God, and he was afraid of God. In the Old Testament days, if you do not do any deeds against the law, it was not recognized as sin. As giving sacrifice, Job could be sanctified by his deed or sacrifice. Job 1 verse 5 says, when the days of, you know, feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and, you know, consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. That means, you know, his, you know, children. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did, you know, continually. You know, he even took care of, you know, his sons, you know, sin. So he was not committing sin in his action. But Father God allowed Job to undergo refinement. Why Father God took the accusation of Satan? Job feared God, so he didn't commit sin. But Father God wanted him to find evil in his heart and find true love for God in his heart. In other words, Father God wants him to have perfect circumcision of his heart. Satan tried to destroy Job, so Satan started to accuse him. Job chapter 1 verses 9 to 11 says, then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made the hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face. You know, Satan said, Job feared God because God blessed him a lot. You can see in the Bible that, how much great wealth Job had. Then, from Job chapter 1, verse 14, the refinement finally began. His possessions were taken by thieves, and fire came down from the sky. And another thing came down from the sky, so everything Job got was destroyed. He was the greatest man in the East, but he lost them all. He even lost his house and his children. Job chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Can you deal with this kind of refinement? In one moment, great refinements or difficulties in the continue, one after the other. Your wealth is gone, your house is burned, and your children have died. However, Job, who was blameless upright, didn't complain against God. He rather gave the praise to Father God. He didn't complain. Job 1, verse 22 says, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Job didn't complain against God. So, even though he lost everything, he passed the first test. However, Satan continued to accuse Job again. Chapter 2, verse 4 to 7 says, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Satan accused again because financial thing he can lost. But what if he was threatened to death? Job would curse God. That's what Satan said. Then Father God allowed it in the trials. So Job had sore boils all over his body. Then his wife, Job's wife, cursed her husband. In chapter 2, verses 9 to 10 says, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Then Job said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? This is what Job said to his wife. In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Even though, his wife ridiculed him, he didn't commit sin with his lips. We can see Job not yet committed sin. I know a kid who suffered from atopic dermatitis. He stretched himself all night long, and the blood came out. In the morning, her blanket and the carpet was full of blood. I saw a baby who was suffering from atopic dermatitis. Job had that kind of soil boils all over his body. So he scratched himself all the time. And then Job's friends came to see Job. And since Job stretched himself too much, his friends couldn't recognize him. His friends came to see him, but they couldn't recognize him. For 7 days, his friends didn't say a word, but wept before Job. Now, the days of refinement and trials went on. They didn't have any kind of transportation. We can guess that it took time to see whether their friend is suffering from sore boils, and I believe it took another time for them to come to Job, right? So we can see how many days Job suffered from sore boils. So time passed like that, and then his friends couldn't recognize him. So Job suffered from sore boils greatly like this. Then he started to reveal his original evil. Then you can, before the original evil came out, we can see Job didn't understand God well. Because Job said to his wife, "Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" We can see that Job misunderstood God. Well, I cannot tell you what kind of evil Job had in his heart tonight. I cannot tell you everything. I'm going to briefly mention it. Well, I was second grader in middle school. I was 16. Now I'm 43. So 27 years ago, senior pastor delivered this message. 4 years after senior pastor started this church, December 12th of 1986 till 1992, December 11th, he delivered this lecture on Job. It was a total of 195 lectures. And you can read his book, Man of Flesh, Man of Spirit, in two volumes. You can see what kind of man you are as you read this book. I read that, after 4 years, he started his church. She delivered this kind of deep spiritual message. Now, this is the message that we can finally understand these days. Senior pastor already delivered this message from 1986. So we have heard that kind of words of truth all the time. But you know what? We'll let it come through one ear, but let it went out through the other. So next week is a Passion Week, right? I hope that you can see what you did and then repent. If you read chapter 3 of Job, you can see how Job complained and then blamed on his parents and God. Job chapter 3 verse 3 to 6 says, "Let the day perish on which I was to be born, and the night which said, 'O boy is conceived.' May the day be darkness. Let not God above care for it, nor light shine on it. Let darkness and black gloom claim it. Let a cloud settle on it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for the night, let darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months." This is what Job said. He said what he wished. You know, if his farm was covered with the dark clouds, you know, his parents would not have enough time to make love. So it means, you know, he would not have been born. If it was the dark during the day, then he would not be born because, you know, his parents would not have made love to each other. Nowadays, you know, even though there is a, you know, an apocalypse, you know, we have light, right? But in the past, you know, people were scared when there was no sunlight. So he wished he would not have been born if, you know, his parents had not made each love. He said so because, you know, he feared God. He thought, you know, God is the God of, you know, fear. So Job 3, verses 25 and 26 says, "For what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I'm not at ease, nor am I quiet, and I'm not at rest. But turmoil comes." And Job 6:4 says, "For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison my spirit drinks. The terrors of God are arrayed against me." But if you read 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love." So in the days of refinement, Job didn't love God. Since he didn't know the love of Father God, he was afraid of those, you know, time of refinement. Chapter 6, verse 8 and 9 says, "Oh, that my request might come to pass, and that God would grant my longing. Would that God were willing to crush me, that he would lose his hand and cut me off." So Job said, you know, he wished, you know, God would take away his life. I'm not sure whether you remember. I believe some of you might make this kind of, you know, wish. You know, the refinement is too much. Please take my life away. I believe, you know, some of you made this kind of confession when you were under serious refinement or trials, when you didn't know the love of Father God. I believe you made a kind of, you know, confession, just as Job did. Or did you forget? Well, you have to make sure whether you did it or not, because, you know, if you did, then it is the wall between, you know, you and Father God. So, okay, I hope that you can remember it and, you know, repent, because the Passion Week is coming. It's a great chance to repent. Now, Job thought Father God does everything as he pleases. Now, Job chapter 9, verses 17 to 19 says, "For he bruises me with the tempest, and, you know, multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not allow me to get my breath, but, you know, saturates me with, you know, bitterness." According to his confession, if it were your confession, nobody would survive now. Many people say when they do not know the heart of Father God, you know, they suffer because, you know, Father God, you know, put curse on them. But you know what? You should know that even though you did something wrong, you have been continually forgiven by Father God, thanks to, you know, tears and, you know, sacrifice of the shepherd. So you can see that, you know, Job misunderstood God. So that's why he made the kind of confession in Job chapter 9, verses 17 to 19. Now in verse 19 he says, "If it is a matter of power, behold, he is the strong one. And if it is a matter of justice, who can summon him?" You know, Job misunderstand Father God. So as you can see, Job feared God. Job thought God does things as he pleases. And he even thinks that, you know, God loves the unrighteous. He put blames on Father God. Job 13:26 says, "Or you write bitter things against me and make me to inherit the iniquities of my youth." He says, you know, he suffers because Father God remembers what Job did in the past, his wrongdoings. That's what he says now. Because of his wrongdoings when he was young. And because of that, you know, he is suffering. He misunderstood Father God like this. To the extent you have fleshly heart, you misunderstand people, you judge people, you feel unfair. So you blame others, and you don't remember good things of others. Instead, you remember wrong things of others. And you remember that, and you think about it again and again. So, through the refinement and trials, you know, the original evil of Job was eventually revealed. Then, Father God met Job. From chapter 38 to 41, Father God appeared in the midst of storm, and he made the examples of, you know, animals and insects. And he talks about his providence and his love and how he created them all. He talks about his love to Job. And he explains how, you know, they can meet Father God. If I remember, when Father God explains about Hippo, Senior Pastor showed us the tail of the hippos. The hippos are so big, right? You can see that the hippos eat meat, right? But, you know, Senior Pastor explained. And, you know, he has a very small tail compared to his big figure. I remember that. So through that, you know, Job repented as Father God explained himself. What do you know about me? Well, I believe, you know, you are going to refer to Senior Pastor's lecture on Job, right? Father God explains what he did and how he created all things and what kind of love he has for them. He tries to convert, you know, his Job's wrong thoughts into good thoughts. And through that, you know, Job could understand the heart and love of Father God. And then he repented from the depths of his heart. Then he started to revere God and received great blessing. That was not it. He also received the blessing of finance. He received the double the blessing that he used to have. He had, you know, 7 sons and 3 daughters. After the refinement, he lived 140 years more. He saw 4 generations. He didn't commit sin in action, but he didn't love Father God from the depths of his heart. So that's why he couldn't give thanks during the days of trials. He couldn't believe in God perfectly. But what about those people who truly love Father God? And what they do when they undergo trials? Let's take a look at King David. David was originally a shepherd. He believed in Father God. He completely trusted Father God. He went to a battlefield to see his brothers. Then he defeated Goliath, and he became the hero of Israel. You know, Israelites praised David. And when people of Israel praised David, that revoked the evil of King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 8 and 9 says, "Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?' Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on." No, Saul started to plan to kill David. He even tried to throw with the spears to kill David. He even said, to make David to marry, his daughter, there was a certain condition to have a foreskin of, 100 men. So anyway, Father God refined, King David to make him the greatest king in Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 19 verse 9 says, King David had to do. Then Psalm 59 is the confession of King David when he was in the when he was fleeing from King Saul. Especially if you read in Psalm 59 verses 16 and 17, that says, "But as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness." Well, he was not under the refinement because he committed any kind of sin. It was the refinement that Father God gave to King David to make him a great king. But after Saul died, and he became a king, David committed sin before Father God. He found a naked lady, a wife, to a husband. And David took her. And he had the wicked scheme to kill her husband, Uriah, in the battlefield. So he committed sin of adultery and murder. And Father God pointed his sin through the prophet Nathan and said, what kind of retribution David had to undergo? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 and 8 says, "It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children, and not sons." Nowadays, teachers and parents do not like to discipline their children. But in the Bible, Father God clearly says that we have to discipline our children if you truly love our children. But the Father God clearly says we should not kill them. Father God explains it greatly. I believe senior pastor punished us a couple of times. And I remember that. I remember his discipline. Well, he was not angry. Out of his love for us, he explained what we did wrong. And he made us acknowledge that. And he asked us how many lashes we would take. And he punished us. Now, once he made up his mind, well, the rod should be broken. Otherwise, we had to take all the lashes. As I said earlier, he was not angry at us. I believe he did it just a couple of times. But when he did that, I remember his punishment to the bones. Then from the day on, I realized that this is what Father God really hates. Well, many children realize, this is what their parents dislike. But when we were punished, we realized that this is what Father God hates. That's what we learned. So even though Father God is not visible, we learned what we should do before Father God. And as we grew up, that was great learning. As you raise your children, I told you don't do that. You make your children fear you. And they try to avoid you. And they commit sin. So you have to discipline your children well. You have to discipline your children to revere God all the time. And you have to let them voluntarily keep the word of God. Now, King David's refinement began. That refinement was the day, was the days of unbearable moments. Well, everybody has their own refinement. You are not me. My refinement was most excruciating. Even if you said your refinement was, you know, hardest, well, when compared to mine, you're nothing. Well, Job's refinement was terrible. King David's refinement was terrible too. His son, whom his beloved wife in the Bathsheba gave birth to, died. Now, his children slept together. Absalom, his son, killed his sons. He was on the run as his son Absalom followed him during the day. Absalom went into David's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And Adonijah betrayed King David. For 10 years, he was on the run because Saul, you know, chased him. And David gave praises to Father God. But after he committed sin, he was under that kind of refinement. Yet still, he was humble before God. Let me tell you what kind of confession he made. Psalm 51 verses 1 to 4 says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge." He committed sin, and he confesses, and he asked for forgiveness from Father God. He committed sin, and he was under the serious trials and refinement. But he didn't complain against God. He didn't ask God to pass it quickly. He rather tried to demolish his sin and wrongdoings for God. And he made the confession that it was right for God to do such things. Psalm 39 verses 8 and 9 says, "Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I have become mute. I do not open my mouth because it is you who have done it." You know, his children did evil to him. He was under serious refinements because of his sons. But he believed that, no, he deserved that because Father God loved him. So that's why he kept silent before Father God. Even under the refinement, he depended on Father God. Psalm 86 verse 7 says, "In the day of my trouble, I shall call upon you, for you will answer me." And Psalm 18 verses 2 to 3 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I'll call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." He always sang praises to Father God, and he depended on God. Psalm 145, verses 1 to 4, he says like this, "I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Now, this is David's confession. What is the difference between Job and David? David committed sin, but Father God didn't stop him. Why? Because Father God wanted him to discover original evil in his heart. After, since Father God knew that David would get rid of that original evil, Job didn't commit sin, but help him see his original evil. Father God had that kind of love for Job. Job was blameless and upright. But Father God found a way to show his love to Job so that Job could see his original evil. Father God wanted them near around him. As I said, their reaction were different. David underwent refinement. Job underwent refinement. But depending on what kind of love they have for Father God, how they deal with that refinement was different. When Job was under refinement, he couldn't understand love of Father God. So he complained. He blamed God. He misunderstood God. However, David, he had love for Father God. He feared God. He revered God. So even under the refinement, instead of blaming God, he took that refinement and he sang praises to Father God. And he begged for Father God's help. You can see the difference here. Even though you're under the same refinement, depending on what kind of love you have for Father God, you can give thanks or you can blame God. Why you are so slow? Why am I so slow? Why don't I change quickly? Why don't I stand on the rock of faith? Instead of thinking like this, if you truly have love for Father God, you have to figure out what is the Father God's intention. You have to pray like that. You have to believe in Father God. You have to trust Him. And you have to discover what is the will of Father God for you to undergo this kind of refinement nowadays. Then you can make spiritual growth. Think of your old days when you were under the refinement. How were you? Were you giving thanks? Were you taking that refinement as faith? Then you would come into spirit much quickly. As I said earlier, some people come to spirit because they have less evil? No. It's just an excuse. If you have Word of God in your heart, if you have trust in the Shepherd, if you believe in the power of the Shepherd, if you believe in the original voice, if you have love for Father God, you can quickly change in the Spirit. You have to believe in Father God's love all the more greatly. As I was recalling the days of refinement, I thought of Shepherd. He didn't commit any sin, but because of us, he is under great refinement. But I believe you have never heard him saying any complaints. We don't see him quite often. But this week we heard the good news, right? From Pastor Soojin Lee. No? The scratching stopped from April 1st. And Pastor Soojin Lee, delivered the good news. Aren't you happy? Every week, you know, as we, more of us, you know, come into spirit, you know, senior pastor would recover better and better, right? So anyway, no, his scratching stopped, so we were happy to hear that. Senior pastor, you know, testified, and Mrs. Bonglin testified. Senior pastor is very good at enduring things, even though there are so many strong young people, and they, if they, you know, massage him, you know, he doesn't say a word, or it hurts. He doesn't say it hurts. But he had to, you know, scratch himself all over his body. You know, he had to put, you know, extremely hot towel over his face. He had to spend days like that for a long, long period of time just because of us. However, he never complained against God when that was not over. As I was suffering like this, the congregation of this church can come into spirit and Holy Spirit. That's what Father God said. So, I have to suffer like this. If I'm so thankful for being able to make you come into spirit. I'm so glad. Well, can you imagine? For a year, for 2 years, what if you have sore boils all over your body? Could you believe in Father God? Could you give thanks to Father God? I know a man who is in the 99 point something percent in the third level of faith. He was so nervous to come into spirit. But you know what? After he started this Mammon church, he was under series of, you know, successive, you know, trials and refinements. But he never complained. Why? Because he loved Father God. He knows too well what Father God wants. Father God already knows what Father God wants. That is to save souls, to lead more souls to heaven and New Jerusalem. Father God desperately wants us to be saved. That's what Father God wants, and He knows it. That's why even though the days of refinement is getting longer and longer, Senior Pastor is gladly take it. This is love. No matter how difficult it is, if you truly love, you will not complain with your lips. Instead, you will not complain why these days are so long. You rather try to discover, you know, what you are short of. And you try hard to become fruit of the shepherd. And you try to repay for the grace that you received. That is love, isn't it? I believe that. I hope that you can become true fruit of the shepherd later on. Father God said, Father God does not feel okay when senior pastor suffers. Pastor Heejin Lee, you know, receives God's revelation every day. And it is difficult to receive God's revelation because Father God suffers too. As he watches our senior pastor suffers. And Father God says, He is still glad. Why? Because senior pastor understands Father God's heart and takes everything with, in gladness. That's what Father God is pleased with. Thanks to His sacrifice, you stand on the rock of faith and you come into Spirit and Holy Spirit. You are so blessed. But this is not what you did. From the depths of your heart, it was done thanks to the shepherd. You have to believe it. Then Father God will give you more strength. Instead of thinking, I did that, I did this much, this is my job. Instead, you should say, I couldn't do anything. Only by the grace of the shepherd, I was able to change. As I said before, I was 16 when senior pastor delivered lectures on Job, 27 years ago. Even from that moment on, senior pastor delivered such deep spiritual messages. But we neglected those spiritual messages. Many years passed by. If you truly realize this, you have to look back on yourself and repent. And until you pay for the justice, you have to go on, you have to keep working. And Father God will pay you back in the right time. I know a lady. She was at the 10% of the third level of faith last March. She always said, I'm a sinner. I'm full of sins. She always said that. So I said, there's nobody who is free from sin. I committed sin too. But why are you keep saying that, you know, I am a sinner, I committed many sins? But you have to believe that by the grace of God, you can change. You have to believe that love so that you have to confess that you can do it. You have to say, I can do it, I can change myself. I told her all the time. Even though I said like that, she said, you know what? Yet still, I'm a sinner. However, at the end of last year, she started to cry a lot. Oh, you cry a lot. And she said, now I gradually feel the love of Father God. She knew it. But because of her feeling that she was a sinner, she couldn't feel the love of Father God right. But after she felt the love of Father God, right away she went into rock of faith. Of course, she is not in spirit yet, but she made a great progress. After that, she, you know, lives her day with tears. What I'm trying to say is, there is nothing you can do on your own. From the depths of your heart, you have to feel the love of the shepherd. Then you can do something. Without feeling that love, there is nothing you can do. You should not feel it with your brain. You have to feel it with your heart. You have to reach a level where you can, you know, you cannot but shed tears as you think of the love of the shepherd. Then you can truly make changes and your level of faith can go up. Do you think there are people who commit sin nowadays? Especially those who are truly evil. Many people do not commit sin nowadays. Many people, many of you try to obey the word of God. But in this particular period of time, you have to focusing on how to feel the love of Father God and the shepherd. As I said earlier, don't blame your environment or conditions. Do not make an excuse. It is an excuse saying that, you know, you don't do something, you don't make an effort. I used to say, I am short of many things. Then Father God said, don't say you are short of many things. That's what Father God said. But then, yet still I said, I am short of many things. The one day he said, don't say you are short of many things, but do it. Then I think about that. I was making an excuse while I was not making an effort. When you confess that you are evil, when you confess that you are a sinner, when you confess that you committed many sins, it is an excuse. Why you make the kind of excuse? Because you are lazy. You are not making an effort. That's why you are making an excuse. Senior pastor said that. There are like hundreds of sins. Then, just get rid of it. Get rid of it one by one. You are just making an excuse instead of making an effort to get rid of them. Those who came into spirit, those who came into Holy Spirit, they also committed sin before. They said they were a sinner. However, they started to get rid of it one by one as they obeyed. Then they gradually came into spirit. I heard people saying like this. Recently, there was one who came into spirit recently. He said, people do not believe how much I suffered while shedding tears to come into spirit. Many people believe that Pastor Hijali and Hisanli are so men of goodness, so it was so easy for them to come into spirit and Holy Spirit. Many people think like that. So I said, I usually say to them, do you know how many days or months or years they pray in tears? Do you know how many days Mrs. Bonglim Lee fasted while she was leading Daniel prayer meeting? All the time she fasted. And she cried all the time. For a long period of time. You witnessed her together with me. But you say, you are a sinner. You committed many sins, so you are slow to come into spirit. Well, it's already 1:15. I think I have to stop here. I have two more things, but I have to cover just one. One of the reasons that I prepared this message is that I met two deaconesses in one place. They have almost same environment, but completely different thoughts. She had many brother sisters. Another deaconess have many brother sisters. Deaconess A was sick. Deaconess B was sick too. Now, Deaconess B had a stepmother. But thankfully, the stepmother was a Christian, so she naturally became a Christian. Anyway, both were sick. And they were sick. And their fathers say, I'm sorry to make you sick. And the deaconess A said, well, I'm happy to be with you even though I'm sick. I'm so happy because, I can be with you. And she said, I couldn't but come to Manmin Church because I lived my life good. But Deaconess A used to say like that. But Deaconess B said, she had many brothers and sisters. But thanks to the sacrifice of her parents, you know, she made it. But anyway, but in her heart, she always had a darkness in her heart. You know, she always complained that, you know, I didn't receive much, you know, love from my parents because of my brothers and sisters. However, as she got rid of that kind of feeling, you know, she was able to stand on the rock of faith. So both were under the same situation and environment, but they had two different hearts. So their outcomes were different from each other. So that's why I prepared this message. Even though your fleshly conditions are different, depending on what kind of heart you made up yourself, your outcome can be different. You hear the word of truth, as I said earlier, depending on how much you love Father God, and depending on how much love of Father God you have in you, the speed of your changing can be different. So, even if you think you are under trials or refinement, even if you haven't received your medal of faith, ask yourself what kind of confession you are making now. I hope that you can make a confession that Father God can be pleased with. I talked about two different hearts in one situation. Depending on how much you love Father God, you may have different hearts. So far, you have been under the love of Father God, His umbrella. And Father God has given you His unconditional love without ceasing. But you committed sin because of your iniquities. You fell down. But even those days, Father God gave us love. Now, we have to believe in that kind, in that love. When you were trials, when you were under trials, you said, did Father God love me? Doesn't Father God ignore me? Didn't you think like that when you were under trials? Or look back on yourself. If you ever thought like that, please repent. I didn't receive my measure of faith. Father God does not like me. If you thought like that, please repent. You have your own measure of faith. Pastor Hee-Shin Lee received the measure of faith from Father God for over like 2,000 people. And she has other jobs too. If you have more goodness, I believe you don't think like that, you know? Well, if you are of goodness, instead of being envious of those who received the measure of faith, you should try to make an effort to increase your faith and how much you treasured the love of Father God that Father God gave to you. And ask yourself, you know, how much you try to befriend the shepherd and try to repent of your iniquities and go on, okay? The Father God's love may fill your heart next week when we see Senior Pastor and when we, you know, when we, you know, when we pass through the Passion Week, I hope that you can check your heart and repent and remember, you know, how people changed in the days of our Lord. Remember each day when our Lord did His ministry. And remember the Lord who died on the cross and resurrected. And fill your heart with the love of our Lord. Let's think over the message and pray together.
아버지 진정 아버지 사랑하는 거 진정 영적인 사랑이라고 하는 것은 연단 받을 때 내가 힘들 때 내가 고난 받을 때 알 수 있습니다. 아버지 그럴 때 내가 얼마나 감사했고 아버지 사랑을 믿어드렸는지 다시 한번 돌아본 바 되게 하여 주시고 그렇지 못했다고 한다면 이제라도 그 사랑을 채워가기를 원합니다. 아버지 하나님은 나를 사랑하시고 나를 이제단에 불러주시고 나를 구원하시고 영원한 천국 새로살렘 이끄시는 그 사랑 또한 귀한 목자를 주셔서 목자님을 통하여서 생명의 말씀을 주시고 그 말씀을 통하여서 나를 비춰볼 수 있는 그 은혜를 주시고 나를 변화시켜 주시는 그 사랑들 하나씩 하나씩 마음에 새김으로 이제 더 영적인 것들을 선모하며 아버지 사랑을 마음껏 받아 나눌 수 있는 모두가 되게 하여 주시옵소서. 감사하오며 우리 주 예수 그리스도 이름으로 기도하옵나이다. 아멘.
Let's receive senior pastor's prayer for the sick on the screen. Lay your hands on your chest if you are not sick. Or lay your hands on your sick part of your body and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, Father God Almighty, our Father of love. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend space and time on those who are receiving this prayer through satellites on the internet and on GCN TV, in branch churches and local sanctuaries around the world. Give them faith to believe from the heart and drive away negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerve tissues and cells, whatever their sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases and germs and viruses and infirmities, go away. May the light come. Father, please scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases such as malaria. All contagious diseases such as cold, flu, fever, go away. Father, protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. And heal them of all stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, uterine cancer, and intestinal cancers. AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid diseases, heart diseases, lung diseases, and women's diseases, and all inflammations, go away. Father, heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains, go away. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases, go away. All kinds of paralysis, be loosened. Get up, walk, and live. Father, let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak. And heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents and fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away. Let there be no scar left. You be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated and bring the dead back to life. And give them blessing of conception. May you receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, and evil forces of darkness, go away, and their servants also go away. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, false spirits, deceiving spirits, separating spirits, and alienating spirits. Go away. All forces of darkness, go away. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, you go away. May the light come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and the power to cast off sins and to become sanctified. As their soul prosper, let all things go well with them and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the firewall of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their family, workplace, and business. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and give them fervor and passion to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from the worldly things, and let them love Father God all the more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or whatever they may do, let them do it only for the glory of Father God. Let them say, I met God, I experienced God, I received answers and blessings from Father God. Let them testify like this with their lips. Father God, thank you. be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.